Hi, I'm Joel.
And I'm Kishan.
And this is Tea for Two.
This is our BFF podcast, where we talk about anything from science to popular culture,
the arts and life in Singapore. Hi everyone, it's me, Joel, a playwright and performer.
And it's me, Kishan, a science educator.
And welcome back to
Tea for Two.
It is our best friend podcast, where we talk about whatever the
Fumbridge
we want. Yes, dear listeners, you heard that right. Fumbridge.
It's a special word today,
we just wanted to talk about the word umbridge, and so we put an F in front of it. Because in the previous episode, Kishan said, what was it? You put F in front of anything, it becomes better.
Did I say that one?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, teacher say one.
Teacher say one.
Did you take umbridge today, Kishan?
I think I must have.
Did you take your umbridge?
I took my umbridge. Yes,
I took some umbridge
too. You took an umbridge as well?
Left a huge mess on the floor, my umbridge did.
Yeah.
What's his name, the general? The former general?
I think his name is Umbridge.
Umbridge, yeah. Tan Kim Lam, Tan Kim Ho, Tan Kim Pue, Pue Kim Tan,
really
something one of those, right?
Yeah.
So gross, For those of you who have no idea what we're listening, just go and Google, like Singapore Press Holdings Umbridge. I don't want to go into too much detail into it, except to say that since the announcement of SPH's restructuring, they've dropped how many?
15 points, apparently.
In the stock exchange or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
Whatever, I don't know these kind of things.
In this imaginary thing, they've dropped 15 points.
Just literally since they announced the news, right?
Which to me, they should take umbrage to that.
Which to me is all be good.
All be good, this is karma.
Last week, we talked about Straits Times, then they plummet.
It's we do one. It's very powerful, this podcast.
You know what is not plummeting though, Kishan?
Why? Is it your blood alcohol level?
No! It's our chart! Our ranking on the chart!
Oh my god. So, dear listeners, we have charted the highest we've ever. We are now at 103 in Singapore's most listened podcast. 103.
I thought you said 100 just now.
Oh, 100 is like around down. But it's 103.
Excuse me. 100 and 103 is very different, okay?
Girl, just take it.
In the World Press Freedom Index, it could be the difference between functioning democracy and military junta, okay?
Correct.
Three positions. Excuse.
Correct. But you know what? 103 is still the best we've ever been.
Oh, sorry, I just break. This is a period we're calling admin time. Dear listeners, it's an admin we have to sort
through. A lot of admin.
First of all, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, dear listeners. You really made these numbers go up. It's all because of them.
We haven't talked about the charts in a while because,
there was a period
of time. There's a period of time we just kept falling off. So it got a bit depressing.
Oh my god. Yes. Why talk about it? Scraping 190
this kind of thing better don't mention.
Don't say.
Yeah, but you know, our fortunes have turned. So thank you very much, dear listeners. 103.
Not only that, so on Spotify, we've crossed the 1,000 followers. So we're now 1,016 followers. I know. Look at us.
Speaking of admin, we have a socially distanced live studio audience today.
Correct.
Yeah, this is a live podcast. No, it's not. It's our dear friend Sean Tobin, who's just reclining on the bed. I don't know if you can hear her. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Okay, you just recline. It's okay.
You just enjoy.
So if y'all want to participate in our meteoric rise to fame.
Whoa, meteoric Is it crash and burn kind?
No, it's a very slow meteor.
Oh, is it? Okay,
slow
cool.
Slow meteor.
Then my can. I'll
but
take
slow
it.
And steady wins the day, right? If you want to take part in this snail's pace ascendancy, please follow and like us on, what is it? Instagram. At T42 Podcast.
That's right.
Where you can leave comments and catch up with updates.
And all our shenanigans.
Yeah,
it's
and
all
also
there.
Join the campaign to harass Sheng Siong Supermarket to finally provide us
harass
with sponsorship.
Harass is truly the right word.
Some of you have really been harassing them.
Yeah, your tech Sheng Siong and everything.
I'm mildly concerned that we will get a cease and desist.
Yeah, I tell you, it will happen. If we get a cease and desist, right, I will frame it up.
Okay,
I will frame it up.
I'll photocopy yours and frame it. Okay, Kishan, are you ready to get on with the episode?
Yes!
Alright, everyone, it's time for our first segment of the day. This is Home Shirley. It's the segment in which we discuss an aspect of life in Singapore that either fascinates or horrifies us. Very often, both. Although today I don't think it's a horrify, it's more of a fascinate.
Fascinate and joyful, very joyful.
What are we talking about today, Kishan?
Today we're going to talk about...
Manonna!
It's really Manonna, eh?
Manonna. No, or McDonald's for our five foreign listeners.
Yes.
Why are we talking about McDonald's today?
We've been talking about this for quite a while, actually, right? Because we've had, I don't know, you especially, we've gone to McDonald's for too many times. And then we've had this fascination.
Yeah, it's really, my McDonald's consumption has increased a lot lately. It's very bad. I had McDonald's last night,
Did you really?
Yeah, I ordered 9-piece spicy McNuggets.
Ooh.
The spicy McNuggets, right, deserve a whole episode to themselves. We should do a deep chat on the spicy McNuggets.
Yeah, I think we can pair that with IBS.
Yeah, and like diabetes and what and kidney failure.
Pre-diabetes.
But anyway, we're talking about McDonald's because, right, like our friend Pooja and I were having this conversation over McDonald's and going like she just asked the question, why is McDonald's so profoundly satisfying and why are Singaporeans so fixated with McDonald's, right? And then I realized, it's a cultural phenomenon here in a way that it maybe isn't in some other parts of the world where we've been, like certainly in the UK or Australia. I don't know. Sean, do you feel? Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't have the same kind of like cultural cachet as it does here.
No, it doesn't. Okay, so we did a little bit of research, right? And we realized that the first McDonald's outlet opened in Singapore in 1979, and then suddenly it made sense.
Yeah.
Right? So it's for our generation.
So our generation, specifically for millennials or elder millennials who were born in the late 80s, right? Late 80s? Oh my God. Is she drunk?
Yeah, she drunk.
I think like we came of age at a time when McDonald's was still fairly a novelty, right? Or was just actually beginning to kind of establish itself in the consciousness.
Definitely. And I think it did it through family. Like, all these adverts were very homey, very like pull your heartstrings kind of situation.
So it was definitely associated with family life and comfort. Like, one of the memories I have growing up, right, was I was in secondary school, and then like we had this CCA thing that started early in the morning or whatever, right? And then my friends and I, we all made a pact the day before we went for these things. I said, like, tomorrow we meet at McDonald's before we go to school. And then it was just like the ultimate luxury, right? It just felt so nice and homey and comforting to go to McDonald's at 7 fucking a.m., sit down and eat like whatever like they offer for breakfast at the time. And then it just felt like everything was right in the world.
You know what it is especially? It is the McDonald's breakfast. There is something very luxe about the McDonald's breakfast. Even though it's like fucking styrofoam.
On balance, at this age, we look at it and we're just like, there is... This looks like trash. It literally tastes like cardboard.
Yeah, you can feel the heart disease setting
in. Correct.
but there's something very luxe about it. I have to say that I have this one thing that I do almost every Sunday. I wake up, before I even get out of bed, I reach for my phone, I order Grab McDonald's sausage McMuffin meal. When it comes to the door, then I get up and I go and collect it. And the first thing I do in the morning
is go back to bed.
Is to eat the McDonald's and then go straight back to bed on a Sunday. I love it.
There's
something very decadent about it.
Wait, every Sunday?
Almost every Sunday. It's awful.
Kisha, are you careful? I think you got liver failure.
I think I already have pre-diabetes. I think we all have pre-diabetes.
Maybe she's born with it.
Maybe it's pre-diabetes.
Like, McDonald's really holds a special place in a lot of Singaporeans.
For sure.
It's the thing, like, when you're a kid, like, you remember we had McDonald's birthdays? I'm not sure they do that anymore.
Oh my God, yes.
Do you remember McDonald's birthday parties?
They used to do it at the Parkway Parade outlet. Oh, no, it was very luxe.
Any McDonald's.
I can't believe I just said it was very luxe. But
it was like the height of elegance at a point, right?
Yeah, you would be jealous of your friend.
No, also remember, like, those older McDonald's, the ones that used to open in, like, the fancy rich neighborhoods, right? The East Coast ones, then the King Albert one.
Oh yeah, I remember those.
They were all very nice.
Yep.
They weren't just like shitty hole in the wall establishments. They had like a whole building to themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Very often they had an outdoor area with like a playpen and playground.
I think there's one that kind of mirrors a Japanese sort of setting that's kind of that's closing down soon. Very beautiful.
So as a kid, right, it used to be that going to McDonald's was like an event.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
For sure.
And then like the ads, like you were saying earlier, right, would do things like, "Mommy, can we go to McDonald's?"
Yeah,
and
it's so beautiful.
Yeah, and then the child would have this like toothy grin.
Yeah. Now it's, "Mommy, please don't gamble anymore."
No, but like the cultural phenomenon of McDonald's, I think is actually very interesting, right? Because like one of the accounts from cultural history that comes up a lot with regards to this is when Germany was split into half, right? And there was like communist Germany and then there was Democratic Republic, right?
West and East.
So yeah, the East and West, right? The communist people look over at the non-communist side and go, "Oh, West Berlin has McDonald's." And it was like a whole thing, right? Like the whole like West Berlin was developing in a very specific way according to like all these American
algorithms. It's Americanization.
Correct. So like McDonald's is synonymous in many parts of the world with a certain kind of like American-led gentrification, modernization.
Which is why I think that when it came into Singapore, this is what we latched on first. That we think that we thought that, wow, this Americanization, this American life is what we need to strive for. And then like coupled with this whole like, oh, family aspect of it, right, was very clever.
I think they use slightly queasy kitchen.
No, yes. Think,
because McDonald's,
just like
right,
eating the McSpicy.
Yeah, McDonald's is one of the evil companies of the world, eh.
It is.
It's one of the big evil companies. It's up there with Disney and Amazon, right?
Yeah,
it's
all
one
the devils.
The evil companies. Yeah. And here we are talking about how close we hold it to our hearts.
No, it's true. That means it worked like fucking worked.
It worked. It's worked like disturbing, charm. Right? But in Singapore, what else can you expect, right? We hold these problematic things to our heart.
Correct.
Like Lee Kuan Yew. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know, Sean
just farted very loudly when he heard Lee Kuan Yew because trauma. McDonald's and Lee Kuan Yew are the same thing, basically.
Same thing,
yeah.
Same thing. But it's not just the whole like family aspect of it. Remember the toys that always came in, the Hello Kitty.
Oh my god!
The don't know what lah, don't know what. People queue like don't know how long for this leh.
My mother was one of those Hello Kitty people. Yeah, she. I remember a time she was so obsessed with collecting these toys, right? We would actually ask, so she would pick me up after school, right? And then we would eat McDonald's. I would eat McDonald's every day for every dinner during that period when she was collecting the Hello Kitty things. And she would drive around, and then she would, now it's all coming back to me. I'm slightly horrified, right? Like, literally, this is coming to me as we speak. Like, and she would just like say, it's not no more already. We drive to the Serangoon one, to the point, right,
oh
where
God.
I was able at that time to like detect, right, where the fries were crispier in different
Fuck
outlets.
God.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, oh, the fries here are much better than the fries there.
Sister, this is why, you know, we have a pre-diabetes pandemic.
Correct. And this is in McDonald's, right? Actually, someone should do a public inquiry into the role McDonald's plays in like the diabetes epidemic.
Won't happen.
The thing about McDonald's, right, is that it's not just McDonald's. It's the specific outlets, right, that have specific
like
memories and evocations,
what
right?
is it for you?
For me, right, it's like different one. Like the, I don't know if the Chinatown one is still there, but you know that one where we used to go after like clubbing and...
It's still there.
Like that's where everyone would spill in, right, after
Correct.
The clubs.
Correct.
And then of course like McDonald's is basically synonymous with after club.
Oh,
supper,
amen,
right?
Sister. For me, it was the Parkway Parade one.
Oh, so nice, yeah.
I love the Parkway Parade one because it was near where my mom used to work, where my mom and dad's shop is. And then, like, they will always give me $2 and my mother would say, go and buy fish au filet.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Fish
au filet?
So, my mother mispronounced filet au fish as fish au filet, and I grew up with fish au filet all the way until like secondary school or JC, and so I always call it fish au filet. No one corrected me. No one at the counter corrected me. I think they were just being very kind.
No lah, or maybe they were also like, correct what? Wrong man, fish au filet, all the words are there.
Correct.
But for me, it was also that thing of like, was not for you, like McDonald's, the ultimate kind of like after school situation.
Oh girl, it's where we all went to gossip.
Correct, right.
The White Sands one.
Or you went to White Sands one. We went to the Hougang Central, I don't know what. Basically, it's where you would go and sit with all your friends, eat fries, and just like bitch and gossip.
Correct.
And commiserate.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, it was actually, oh my God, the feels
right,
are coming back.
The whole school would just like... migrate to McDonald's after.
Not just the whole school, different schools will come in.
Correct.
And then there'll be like a bit of a turf war and where you sit.
Correct.
Oh
correct.
My God.
I will never forget, right, as a secondary school boy in like Montfort Secondary School, going to our Longkang McDonald's, right? And then like these like Maristella boys and Catholic high boys, for some reason, maybe they all live in Hougang, that one. And then it would just be for me, right, like a flash parade. So like I negotiated my teenage sexuality over McDonald's.
Wow. This is very profound, sister.
Inextricable from
fries and fuckboys.
You know, we've alluded to a lot of like these McDonald's advertisements that we saw growing up as a kid, right? And actually, yes. I think like McDonald's advertisements are among some of the best in the world. Like they really know how to root into your brain and make you crave that familiarity and comfort.
Absolutely, yeah. It's emotional blackmail.
I mean, listen. I mean, excuse me, when you hear this, it's like it speaks to something in your genome, right? It does. makes me unclench a little bit.
I think you have a problem.
Anyway, speaking of ads, right, we pulled up this, like, I think a lot of people who grew up in the 90s will remember this ad.
Yeah.
Like, it was, this McDonald's ad came out in 1991, so the Zoomers amongst you will have been fetuses.
Oh, yeah.
Design fetuses.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes me a bit sad to say I actually was like conscious in 1991. You know,
we were, yeah. Well conscious. I was 5 years old.
Yeah, so for all the elder millennials and above in the audience who may recognize this advertisement, it's called A Day in Singapore.
Mm.
And we invite you, if you're listening at home, to tune into it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just Google A Day in Singapore on YouTube.
Yeah, McDonald's A Day in Singapore.
We're just going to do a bit of like a director's cut commentary.
Correct, yeah, correct. Because this is what it deserves.
Yeah, correct. Also, this is the quality of podcast that we are.
Yeah,
like, tell me in this country, what other podcasts will do practical criticism?
Don't have.
On McDonald's advertisement.
Don't have. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Okay, shall we get ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Deep breath.
Press play. A Day in Singapore. Uncle with bird waving to his son as she says goodbye.
Wow, people open shop.
Open shop.
Wow, McDonald's open already.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, can we pause?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
She come out to you, don't scream.
This one from SQ girl. This is 7 a.m. in the morning, right?
Good morning.
And Cindy is there saying good morning.
Yeah.
And then Linda with her buck teeth. She's a 5-year-old Linda.
And then she
has like begged her father. Begged her father to bring her to Madonna.
You know why they don't show the father on the screen? Or? Because right. He's probably fucking pissed off that he's here at 7 a.m.
Because like no father wants at 7 a.m. to bring his daughter Linda.
Yeah, like on your off day, like.
Correct, correct.
Like fuck off, Linda. Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
So much hate.
Happy meal.
Annoying.
Oh my god, those hash browns literally made me respond
actually,
to my Genome.
I love hash browns.
Okay.
Oh my god,
I love
so
the hash browns.
Good.
They are like
they're like crack.
Yeah, they are like crack. Yeah, oh, let's listen to the vegetarian good. In the room, Sean. Yeah, he's speaking in tongues at the sight of those hash browns.
It's so good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, Haslinda is coming to the restaurant.
Haslinda.
Kopi o satu.
Okay. Pause. Makcik, okay, let's paint a picture. Makcik is wearing actually quite a lovely colour,
yeah,
like lilac thing. And then she has a basket full of morning shopping.
Correct.
Right? She looks great, by the way.
Correct. And she very nice haircut.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Very good for the time. Then after that, she go to McDonald's.
And order?
And order kopi o satu.
I'm just like...
Hey, makcik, gila kau eh. Why you buy the sayo?
That's
why. Show behind got one kopitiam,
that's
right?
That's why.
Hey, coming from someone whose parents run a coffee shop,
this must be
quite offensive
it's
to you.
It's offensive. Why you drink McDonald's coffee? I'm sorry, McDonald's coffee is not the best.
No, pause. At a time, this was at a time, by the way, when there was no McCafe yet.
Okay.
And McCafe actually makes halfway decent coffee.
I disagree. I don't like it.
That's just you. But like the one that they serve with the breakfast, right, is basically just like...
Isn't it swill?
Yeah, it's swill. It is literally swill.
Yeah, it's not nice.
No, it's not nice. So this Haslinda who wants her kopi o satu...
Must do better lah, sis.
Okay, let's move on. School bell. Oh! Okay, the demons are pouring out of their classroom.
Okay, stop. Okay.
Michelle, Ashley and Cheryl...
Oh my god.
Raffles Girls School.
Yeah.
Are now on the screen and they're all ordering something.
You know what? They probably all hate each other in real life.
Yeah, but they pretend to be McDonald's friends. Only McDonald's friends.
Let's move on.
Okay, let's move on.
What?
Big Mac.
Oh, handsome Bing ordering Big Mac. Very handsome Bing ordering Big Mac.
The man must order the beef.
Is that Caleb Go? Is
no
that Caleb
la,
this okay,
Caleb
this is
la.
Giving me intense teenage textbook vibes.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Can I also talk about the unnecessary gendering of food? Like men must eat beef, women only eat fish.
Oh yeah, okay, Sean, very astute critical analysis.
Thank you, sister.
And this is what inequality looks like. And then this bang with the sunglasses can only order fries.
Yeah.
Oh Ama, come ready. Ama. Wow, this Ama. Ama's okay, for those of the non-Chinese in the audience, right, Ama is basically saying, this is my grandchild. The smallest one.
Yeah.
This, by the way, right, I encourage everybody to go and watch this advertisement, right, because this grandmother on screen right now is the quintessential Singapore Chinese
She's
grandmother.
She's probably dead, lah.
No, I mean, not... The specific actor is probably dead, right?
Sure.
But this grandmother
lives on.
This grandmother is on every Singapore play, every Singapore TV show,
correct.
Every Singapore movie.
Let's hear the auntie a bit more. You know, can we pause?
McDonald's.
You know what I feel? You know what I feel when I hear this?
What?
Excluded.
You heard it here first on T42 Podcast.
I mean, they had a 12-second monologue.
That was a very chunky monologue.
Can I just say,
pride of place in the ad.
I remember watching this as a young child, right? And I had to piece together what the auntie was saying because I had to force myself to learn what the auntie was saying. No one translated it for me.
I would just say to you that in 1991, my Chinese language ability was probably the same as yours. But also, you can see kind of like the nefarious workings on the Singapore psyche that this ad is.
Girl.
So, what do we have today? This is already like almost near the end of the ad, right? We've got school children. Unnecessary gendering of
food.
And then you got like Ama. And then you got Hasina coming in with the vegetables.
Yeah. You know what is sorely missing?
Indian people.
And Indian
people. Yeah, actually, so far, don't have Indian people.
Indian people don't eat McDonald's. La.
Okay, we are now moving on to the aforementioned McDonald's birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lots of children in color.
All Chinese.
Wow, all Chinese. It really like all Chinese. Oh, it's the clown!
One chocolate shake.
Ah, okay, the mud skateboard wants a chocolate shake. Skateboard.
Okay, can.
Oh, this is the Parkway one. No, the Marine Parade one. Oh, they're all the shops closed. A visit to McDonald's makes your day. So what can we say about this advertisement now that we've watched it?
You know what? I feel a little bit bummed out after watching all of that.
Oh.
Yeah, because this advertisement meant a lot growing up, right? Because it's an attachment to childhood, it's an attachment to what it meant, what McDonald's means to me. Now watching it years later, I realize that I'm not represented at all.
Yeah, there's literally no Indian people in this advertisement.
I think only towards the end, one woman says Vanakkam.
Yeah, but did she order anything at McDonald's or was she just standing outside saying
just now towards the end where the lights all shut down to represent McDonald's is closing, Singapore is sleeping. All the racers say their goodbyes and she says Vanakkam.
Yeah, but but Indian people were never once portrayed ordering anything or eating in it.
I don't recall. Yeah, and also Vanakkam is in the mother tongue that's not mine.
Yeah,
so this is why I just realized I'm not at all represented in this. So in 1991, this was my life, lah.
But I
never clocked it growing up. But I mean, I was 5 when watching this. Even in my 8, 9, or 10s, in my early primary years, I didn't. I just thought my people just don't belong on TV, lah. Wow,
it's an interesting kind of little cultural artifact, right?
Yeah,
I mean, because nowadays it would be completely unthinkable.
Yeah, to not have that diversity. In fact, now it's hit over the head so much.
It's so plastic and kind of obvious and heavy-handed.
Yeah,
but in a way, better than not having anybody
on screen at all. Would I want to go back to those years? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, so it's called A Day in Singapore, right? But there's no Indian people in it. So I guess maybe it was filmed during a holiday.
Yeah, during Diwali.
Yeah. It's okay, now holiday, everybody else just go and film.
Correct.
Yeah, everybody, and then Indian people. Or maybe just in 1991, Indian people didn't eat at McDonald's.
Maybe.
They just had better taste than that.
Yeah. That's right.
It's so much sodium, the one.
On some level, because I grew up in that time, right?
It's very nostalgic.
Yeah. Watching this still makes me feel all the feels. It's still really nice. And I now am craving a fish au filet. I really am.
But I think it just says something about how McDonald's here really works itself into
into our bones.
Into our bones,
it's crazy.
Our souls. It's very interesting and weird. I feel when I describe the McDonald's phenomenon here to friends overseas, right? They are first of all, they are very mystified that the 24/7 McDonald's, the 24-hour delivery.
Oh, that's right.
First of all, McDelivery and then 24-hour McDonald's. It's a bit of a mindfuck for a lot of
you
people.
You mean it's not a thing? In London?
You would have to go through only specific outlets to do it. It's not as widespread as it is here, right?
This because Singapore's fucking small, so that's why we could do it with such ease. Yeah.
Correct. But also the idea that people would be craving McDonald's at any hour of the day says a lot.
Yeah, it's
right. It's at 3 a.m. you want McDonald's delivered to you, right? What have you been up to? Is my question. What's wrong with you? What's your favorite McDonald's order?
So I love the McDonald's fries when it's piping hot. Right?
Oh, correct. Yeah.
So I always order fries and I always say special order unsalted, which means they have to cook it again. And if I want the fries, I will just say, unsalted, but can I have 2 packets of salt? Mm. Let's just add myself, lah.
Well done, Kishan.
It's
excellent strategy. So having learned this from Kishan, it is now what I do. Because first of all, you're consuming ostensibly less salt. But then you're also getting fresh-made fries.
I love
it. I will say I do have a kind of penchant for the soggy fries because it just is commensurate with the mediocrity in my life in general.
I see, it's comforting in that way. Oh, good for you.
Yeah. I also, speaking of fries, my thing in McDonald's is to eat fries alongside ice cream.
Okay, that is
specifically
disgusting.
I'm hearing groans in the room and I don't
hate it.
Oh, the white man is groaning, and I do not. The Sly Studio audience disapproves, but I'm just saying.
I don't understand. What is it? What is it? What is it about?
Specifically, the chocolate fudge sundae.
Oh, you made it worse.
What? Chocolate fudge and fries are an amazing combination.
I don't understand this.
Plus, this maybe is a Chinese people thing. I don't know. You know, the sausage McMuffin you eat in the morning.
I love.
The big breakfast, right? So like they serve all the condiments and everything with it. I will just put everything together, right, including the grape jam. So I will actually put the grape jam that they serve with like the sausage, the pancakes and everything into my sausage McMuffin.
What?
Oh, Sean is making retching
sounds. You know what? You have this thing of this sweet and savory.
I love it. I love the sweet and
savory. So you take the fries and you put it your chocolate. The chocolate hot fudge sundae. And now you want to put the grape jam with the sausage McMuffin.
Yep.
I don't get this sweet savory thing.
Sorry. Sweet savory is
the bedrock of Chinese cuisine.
Not just Chinese cuisine. Now people around the world are coming around to the idea of the savory sweet flavor profile. Maybe 5-year old Joel was ahead of her time. As usual, she was always ahead of the curve.
Girl. Okay, I actually really like the apple pie. But must be piping hot. Like, must burn my mouth.
Correct. Time. There's something about those McDonald's apple pies, right, that are like above boiling point one,
yeah,
right?
No, I really, really, really love it. Like, I don't know what... I really think it's very basic.
Comfort,
Yes, that's the word. I think it's very comforting.
Kishan, we've been saying this for the past 25 minutes. It's like... McDonald's is comfort and familiarity.
Yeah, it's really the best. So my favorite is apple pie.
It's also objectively tasty, the apple pie.
I think so too. What is yours?
This is a hard question to answer.
Is it?
I think, right, it used to be like the Big Mac, but then I no longer eat that. So now, like, my favorite thing at McDonald's is like the McWings. They are so good, right?
I love the McWings.
I don't know what the fuck they are, but they're just like the best chicken wings.
You're right, they're very good.
Yeah, and they just go so nicely with the spicy sweet garlic chili sauce.
Oh, sis, my mouth is watering.
Yeah, and on that note, the spicy McNuggets.
Oh,
the seasonal produce.
Do you know what they frightened?
Yeah, the farm to table option at McDonald's is the spicy McNuggets, right?
They frightened all of Singapore by threatening to remove it from the menu.
Yeah. So the other day, me and Pooja, right, we went to like McDonald's, and then like it was after McDonald's had just made a horrible announcement that they were going to discontinue the spicy fucking McNuggets. So we just ordered, like, we hatched a business plan, right?
I'm
probably jeopardizing by putting on air right now. We bought 100 spicy McNuggets and they're now in my freezer. And when they finally do stop selling them in McDonald's, we're going to put them on Carousel.
That is, I don't know if it's genius or ridiculous, but there's usually a fine line between these two.
Yeah, you know what that fine line is? Food poisoning. But if you want spicy McNuggets after it's discontinued, you know where to get it.
Well done, sister.
At T42 Podcast. We're going to sell one box for like $50.
More lah!
No, but it's come to my attention recently, right, that there are some off-the-shelf supermarket brands that taste exactly like spicy McNuggets.
No way!
I think the Farmland one or whatever.
Oh, good to know. That was very annoying,
actually.
So McDonald's meant a lot for us, right? The elder millennials growing up. It has a special place in like my femur. You know, so it's very, very important. But
yes.
I wonder how the actual millennials would take
the
it.
Zoomers.
The Zoomers. How would they take it?
I don't know. Tell us about it in the comments because we don't talk to enough Zoomers on a daily basis.
I don't care enough. My suspicion
is that like, okay lah, they're interested in McDonald's, but I'm not sure they would cry about it.
I don't think it's a cultural
phenom. You would cry about it, right?
If all the McDonald's closed in Singapore, I would be very upset. I wouldn't cry, but I'd be very upset.
Just like A&W when it closed, right? It was quite sad.
It hit me in a particular way.
And then when it came back to Jewel, it's basically catering to our sad fucking demographic, right? Like, who else is it catering to?
No one, really. Yeah, no, I agree. So I just wonder how the Zoomers feel about
it.
What do you think
is the iconic kind of like food experience for Zoomers now? I don't know.
Do they eat?
Do they eat? No. They just inhale the internet. That's all they do, right?
Yeah. That's what they
just eat like emojis.
They subsist on bites. Bites. Oh my god, the bites of the internet.
Correct.
Oh my goodness.
Mm. But tell us about it in the comments.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Out. But let us know.
Tell us about it.
Or don't. Sure. Now it's time for Lukewarm Takes.
Ooh.
We're two elder millennials.
That's us.
Talk about something that's happening in the world today. And what's up for the chopping block, Joel?
It's the gym.
Yeah.
The gym. Specifically gym culture.
Also, some people call it the temple.
Oh, really? I mean, the reason we're talking about this may be apparent to some. Singapore is now moving into, like, we're going back into phase two of our...
Effectively,
yeah,
phase
we're regressing, right? A little turtle going back into its shell.
Regressing.
Yeah. So, you know, we poked our heads out of the caves, slightly blurry-eyed going, can we be a society again?
Can or not?
Cannot.
Then someone said, hey, cannot.
The virus, then we're all slowly regressing.
A little bit.
That regression involves the closing of gyms.
Correct.
Which was met with public umbrage.
Girl,
umbrage.
You know what? When it was announced,
yeah.
I mean, okay, firstly, when it was announced, obviously, why wouldn't the gyms close? Because the gyms are actually quite a high-risk place.
You know, there's so many droplets, sweat.
Not only that. You know,
sex in the saunas, everything also got, yeah.
Not only that, but we... Okay, so I frequent the gym quite a bit, and when we are at the gym, we are told to wipe down all the surfaces that you use
with antibacterial wipes.
So they have like a disinfectant and everything, and tissues everywhere.
This is during a pandemic or generally?
During the pandemic, generally as well, but during the pandemic, it was quite heightened. You know, like everybody should do it before and after you use whatever machine, the weights, whatever. People don't do it at the gym.
Disgusting.
It's really disgusting. People don't do it at the gyms, and they just sit down, their sweat is everywhere, and then after that they get up and then they just walk away.
Yeah.
It's really disgusting. So of course the gyms are shut. So this shouldn't have come as a surprise to anyone. But my god, did the internet go crazy.
In my chapter of the internet, where I'm surrounded by a lot of gay men, right, there's been particular uproar.
In your corner of the internet.
Yeah, in my corner of the internet, where I don't want to be, in fact, right. All these sweaty gays are going like, huh, what are we gonna do? We're gonna get fat during the pandemic again, huh? Cannot gym. I better go on Shopee, better go on Lazada, I buy all my gym equipment, home gym. The home gym now. Home gym. Ha.
Wow.
Sorry, I just...
You know what?
I feel like I should pay a stick for that. No, but a lot of gay men, right?
No, they went crazy.
They went crazy. They really went crazy. So many of the gays on my Instagram are just like posting their obligatory, I guess I'll just have to do home workouts now. It's like, yeah girl.
This misses the forest for the trees a little bit. Like, come on. There's a pandemic going on. Can we chill the fuck down? This is really quite okay.
Actually, gym culture is the baby that I'd be very happy to throw out with the bathwater. Can we just lose it all? Can we just lose it all? Burn the forest for the tree if we are burning down gym culture. I fucking hate gym culture. I have gone on about this before, and this is like a pet peeve of mine, but it's just like, in recent years, I've noticed everyone goes to the fucking gym. It's not just the gays anymore. Everyone has those gym arms. Everybody's like getting toned. It's crazy.
I don't know.
You go to the gym, right?
I go to the gym.
I know different people go to the gym for very different reasons, right? But I personally think that there's something kind of really oppressive about how so many people, right, it's become this huge kind of cultural practice, as it were, right? And it's, you know, and I've talked about this before in an episode of this podcast called Gay Body Culture, which is you can go and listen to, where I talk about how it's kind of linked to me with aspirational conspicuous consumption and, you know, values and ideologies of the body and stuff like that. But I won't go into that now because it's very boring, right? But it's just fascinating to me that the gym has become such a huge kind of cultural phenomenon everywhere, not just in Singapore.
Sure. I mean, I'll be lying if I say that that aspect doesn't also apply to me a little bit. I mean, it really, really, really does.
How many times a week do you go to gym?
About three. But the gym for me is a place to de-stress.
Right.
So I go in, great music is playing. Now we cannot even club, so it's actually really good music.
Right.
And then I'm just there doing my workouts and I feel de-stressed and it's wonderful. So it's just nice. Plus there's a lot of eye candy going on, so it's always very good. So, you know, it's all good.
No, I definitely understand exercise as a de-stressing thing. And, you know, I was talking about this to my friend Shreedar the other day who said that for him it's the only time in the week where he gets to spend time with himself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I get it, but then there's also something slightly maniacal about people who go every fucking day.
Yeah.
And they're going to the gym, right? And I mean, a lot of gay men in particular I'm referring to in this way, right? Are going to the gym to pursue a very specific kind of physical aesthetic. And so the closure of gyms for a lot of these people is actually a big fucking deal because it means
like their liver shut down.
Yeah, it's like that. correct. It's the cirrhosis of body image, right? Body image
absolutely.
Cirrhosis. Yeah.
I can understand where you're coming from with gay men and gay men having this idea a lot, right? But when I go to the gym, I see a lot of gay and straight men who have this gym culture sort of thing where they go to the gym every fucking single day to work different parts of their body out. And they literally live at the gym to the point where if another person comes in that don't exercise the same way as them, right? Like me, for example, I don't go every day there. So it feels like I don't belong there. So they take over machines, they take over weights. It's as if they live at the fucking gym. And I go like, girl, this is a public space. I paid money for this. So why are you taking over the whole place?
What does that encounter, what's that dynamic feel like?
It's literally me just standing and
waiting to use the machine.
It's really a lot of looking pointedly and going like, in my eyes, going like, hey sis, I need to use this as well. I see you working out, but can we share the place? So there are many times that I actually go up to people and go like, can we share it in between reps? You know?
Right.
Because if someone came up to me and did that, I'll be like, yeah, sure.
Do they ever like look at you and go, ugh?
They prickle a bit.
Right. Because they think like, can you not see that I am the superior being
Yeah,
here?
Not everyone. Right. Not everyone prickles at this, but there are people who prickle at it. And I've gotten the prickling thing more than non-prickling things.
That's so irritating.
It's very irritating, but I do it anyway because they need to be called out.
Right.
You know, and so all these people, they like I said, they live at the gym, right? They feel that everything is theirs. But they just leave shit around.
Ugh.
Yeah, and that really fucking annoys me. So it's this aspect of gym culture that I don't like.
Which is like, what is
this
like,
exclusivity but that I don't like.
Of course, there is going to be this kind of selfish, obnoxious behavior in the gym because like at the heart of this specific brand of gym culture is a deep, kind of self-consuming narcissism.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
It's like the mirrors are around there for you to check your form, I'm presuming, but it also becomes a way for you to admire your physique. And the gym selfie is like a whole genre of social media content in and of itself, right? And like people, you know, so many people, not just gay people, but primarily gay people on Instagram, just posting these endless videos of them in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
Like as a kind of like advertisement or testament to like their participation in this like self-aggrandizing culture, right?
And the fact that they've achieved something like look, yeah, I can do this, it means
so
something.
It's, to me, gym culture is interesting because it is basically a public spectacle. And it's a public...
People are preening left and center.
Not only are they preening, right? Like, they are participating in a kind of, like, self-flagellation, right? It is a working through of guilt. It's a working through of, like, values and discipline, blah, 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 blah. Never... Okay, so I have been to the gym, like, maybe twice in my life, right?
Right.
This is very stupid.
Oh my god, like, tell us the story.
This is in university where me and my friend Heiko, who were both like fatty fat fats, right? We wanted to go to the gym and say, okay, like, let's try lah, you know, because like there's so much pressure being put on us to be not fatty fat fat.
Let's try.
Yeah, let's try. We buddied up and said, okay, we will encourage each other to go.
I remember this.
We went like a total of two times.
Yeah.
Right? The last time I went, which was the second time, right, was the very last time because like I got on the treadmill, started running, and I was like, okay, I'm kind of zoning out and getting into it. And like for some reason, right, my feet miss the treadmill and I lose my grip and I get flung off the fucking thing and get thrown half a meter or maybe even more to the back. I land on my butt.
Fuck off!
So like thankfully I didn't hit anything.
You know, those can go... Those
can go really badly. Especially when, like, you're... you know, when your mass is quite high and you're moving at a certain velocity, right?
Physics can
die one.
Can break something.
So that was fucking humiliating. Then the fucking, like, trainer in charge, right? Who's seen the whole thing...
Oh, my God.
Laughs. And then just patronizingly says, bro, you okay? And
fuck
in my head, I'm just
off.
Like... I've literally just been... flung off your machine.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
That patronizing tone is as if, oh, you don't belong at the gym. You're a visitor.
So there was a lot of gatekeeping. There was a lot of
like
this kind of I felt this subtle gatekeeping because like me and my friend, we went and like we got a friend of ours who was a big gym bro to kind of train us, like to show us how to use the machines. And he was lovely and he showed us everything. But then there were all these other people who were watching, right? And then who were just like sniggering at us, literally sniggering at these two fat fats, right? Trying to learn how to use the gym. And then like we were doing these like weights, right? And then this guy comes over, sees us, and then picks up some like massive other fucking big weight just to go like, you have so much to learn. You know, it was just so gross and male and masculine and sweaty. And
I remember the first time I started gymming, right? So this was years back and I felt so intimidated by everybody. It just felt like such an unfriendly space.
Yeah.
And I was just figuring out how to do things by looking at videos there and then and just doing it by myself. And yeah, it felt like a very unfriendly space, and I nearly quit. It's just that I didn't, because like I just thought, you know what, fuck it, I'll go at a particular time when no one was in the gym. It was quite late, so
what, 3 a.m.
No, it was like post work, like about like 8 p.m. or something like that. I'll go when no one was in the gym, and my gym was in like near the office spaces, so everybody would have left, so it was nice, so I would have just dealt with it on my own,
right?
And that gave me the confidence to then move into spaces where there were more people and to gym at a more like crowded time,
because basically, as with anything that you do in public, the more proficient you appear to be at something, the less self-conscious you feel, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I feel like the gym has a lot... That's why I will probably never participate in it as a culture. I just feel like there's... To me, like, I've gone past the point where like, I can never go in as an innocent person anymore.
I just
have a very specific way of thinking about those machines.
I understand.
And those forms of exercise and the intended goals of that exercise for many people who are in that space. And for me, I can understand how actually you can go to the gym and do basically whatever you want, train whatever part of your body you want, right? But for me, it's too tight to, as I was saying, all these values and very specific outcomes for me. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. Mm. But what do you like go to the gym to work on?
No, really, it's to just de-stress. So
really?
I have a set of 6 things that I always do at the gym.
But you can do other things to de-stress, what?
I can do other things to de-stress, but I just enjoy. I enjoy.
Yeah, so what about...
It's become a routine, you see.
Like, if you turn something... you know, this is just me playing devil's advocate.
No, go for it,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, if you could just... If you started developing another form of exercise that didn't involve the gym and bodybuilding, for example, right? And doing like weight training, right?
Yeah.
Would you do you feel like you could substitute the gym with that?
Possibly. Right? I'm not saying that the gym is part of my identity the same way like all these gym rats see the gym.
Right.
It's definitely not, but it's just that for now, because of how I've cultivated this practice, it just makes me feel relaxed and I go to the gym as part of a routine. But you're right, I could substitute it with something else, of course.
But obviously, if you go to the gym and do those kinds of exercises that train specific parts of your body, your body's going to develop in a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. So for you, do you feel like if you ever had to step back from training your body to look that way, would you feel an anxiety around that?
I would be lying if I said no. So for sure, yes.
Because there is a kind of pleasure that's derived from like, you know, developing that aesthetic, right?
Definitely.
Not that you have it fully. Yeah. No shade.
No,
you don't
sure.
actively pursue it, but you do have nice arms, I guess.
Thanks.
And a nice chest.
Thanks.
Right? Sorry, me coming on to Kishan on the podcast. Sorry, this one is my sister. Just like Clarity is my sister. No, but it's like, I guess like it's interesting, right? So if your body does change, do you feel, if your body changes because you stop training this way, do you feel like you would have to negotiate that?
No, of course. Because of what society places the body type, the ideal body type to be, right? So of course I have to negotiate that, because I'm negotiating that against society's eyes on me.
I think therein then lies part of a huge part of the anxiety around gyms closing. It's not so much like not being able to exercise. It's actually not being able to train your body to look a certain way.
Yeah.
And then like and that body being such a fundamental part of like so many people's identities, it becomes like a huge cause for concern, right?
You know what's just going to happen in these 2 weeks that the gyms are not
closed? Everybody's going to start running on the pavement.
No, that too, but we're also going to see a lot of people posting their home workouts at home, you know?
Oh,
on the Instagram.
Wow, during the early lockdown,
do you remember?
Wow,
exactly. Wow,
it was like everyone was doing it. It's like they have to show in some shape or form, you know, show that they are working on themselves.
It was such insecurity, you know, on display. It was just like, fuck off, no one really needs to see this, you know.
Yeah,
you
really
do it your own time.
I mean, unless you are actually just butt naked and having sex while exercising, please don't post it. Please don't post it. It does not add value to my life. It's not functional because I can't jerk off to it.
You know what Joel Tan wants, people? Yeah. So give it to him.
Yeah, give me your workout porn. Like, unless you are, like, you know, on your yoga mat with someone else in a very compromising situation.
Yeah, why are we watching it otherwise?
I don't need to see.
Yeah.
I don't need to see. Alrighty, it's time for our third and final segment, Bite Size Science.
Yay.
It's the segment in which our resident science expert, Kishan Kumar Singh,
that's me,
gives us some bite sized science to help us cope with 21st century living.
Yeah, nothing says 21st century living like COVID.
Oh, we're talking about COVID today.
We're talking about
what
COVID.
What is on the chopping block today, Kishan?
Oh my god, so it's all about the mutations.
What did you say?
The mutations. Oh my god, if you know what that is, you can be our friend.
Yeah, you were probably born in 1987.
Or 86.
Yeah.
Or 86.
You probably saw that McDonald's advertisement on TV as a child.
Yeah, correct.
What about mutations, Kishin?
So I want to talk about mutations because there's a lot of stuff going on around now about the virus, right? And all the different mutant variants. And I think people are confused because I keep getting messages from friends going like, oh, what is this about? What's that about? And I actually have to talk to them about it. And I don't mind.
Right.
But it basically highlights a lack of understanding of what mutations are. I thought like, girl, we need to educate. And you know what? I have a platform.
Yeah, you do.
minor platform. Yeah, so why not?
Hey, got 1,000 people listening to us on Spotify. Oh,
correct. And Sheng Xiong.
Correct. Sheng Xiong. Trying to cease and desist.
Yeah. So Joel, when I say mutation, what do you think about?
X-Men.
Exactly. So people always think about strange ass things with mutation. It's either X-Men or you become a zombie or you become a fly. You
correct.
Know? So people think, so mutation is this huge boogeyman. And I get it. People are quite frightened about mutation. But I think what people forget is that mutation is actually quite a simple thing and it happened to all of us. If it wasn't for mutations, humans wouldn't be sis, you wouldn't be you, I wouldn't be me. We are just a beautiful combination of different mutations happening that allow us to exist better.
That's very comforting to know.
Huh?
You're not broken, you're just a mutant.
Oh my god, that should be on a t-shirt.
Right, you're not broken, you're just a mutant.
I love that. Mm. Oh my god, okay. So like, I just thought, why don't we talk about mutations a little bit?
Yes.
So, in essence, a mutation is a change in the genetic sequence. Basically, it's like, you write a sentence and then got typo. Okay, that's literally it. That's
a
typo.
Like you're copying the same sentence over and over again, and then one of the copies becomes
a typo,
and then the typo gets copied for
exactly. The rest and then maybe you make more typos, and then it changes how the sentence is read.
Right.
Maybe, maybe not. So that's all of that. But so let's focus a little bit on viruses. Okay, so why do viruses mutate? So viruses they don't have a replicating mechanism in them. They need to infect a host in order to replicate.
Right.
So that's what needs to happen, right?
Yeah.
If they don't infect the host, nothing can happen.
Right.
All right. So when they infect the host, what they do is that they take over the entire replication mechanism. They go, and they just go in and they just take over the mechanism and they replicate.
I love that the voice of the virus in your head is a 19th century vaudeville villain. It's just like,
correct, right? Oh my god, I love that. That's very nicely done.
Yeah.
So that's what the viruses do. So in the case of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which is the virus that causes COVID.
Miss Rona.
Miss Rona. Oh, thank you.
It's called Miss Rona, yeah.
SARS-CoV-2 is such a mouthful.
No, Miss Rona.
Yeah, in the case of Miss Rona, the virus that causes COVID, basically, they infect our cells and they take over the replication machinery and they make this huge number of viruses that then spill out into other cells and then it carries on and it carries on and it carries on.
Right.
So if they're going to replicate so many times, there's confirmed going to be one mistake. So mutations in some are actually very, very normal.
Right.
People need to understand first. I'm not saying that they should not freak out, but people should understand that mutations are normal.
I think, right, that when people hear mutation in the context of the virus, they are assuming that there's something about the mutation that makes the virus stronger or more virulent or just harder to control. So I think whenever we hear, oh, there's a new strain, we go, oh no, it's like a new, you know, it's like more powerful.
Exactly.
It's just like storm la.
Yeah.
Who can control the weather.
Yeah. But that's not always necessarily the case.
Right.
Not all mutations create a virus that is more infectious or that causes more sickness. It doesn't always work like that. Like actually, most of this time, the viruses do nothing, or rather the mutations, they don't cause much of a change. For mutations to actually create a more virulent strain, there must be a large number of mutations that happen successively that cause extreme change, and then these mutations must stay on. So that's actually very, very, very unlikely.
Right.
So it must be like mutation A leads to mutation B, which leads to mutation C, which then leads to like insane boss virus.
Right.
So this is very, very unlikely. And in fact, many viruses have a proofreading mechanism. So viruses want to copy correctly lah. Who wants to make a typo, right? Who wants to make a typo? It's so embarrassing. So viruses actually have a proofreading mechanism. Most viruses do.
Right.
And in fact, Miss Rona has a proofreading mechanism. She has with her spell check. So when she replicates herself, she actually spell checks everything first.
Is it spell check or autocorrect? Because autocorrect, very often it's like fuck can become duck.
It's not a spell check.
Spell check is not autocorrect.
She actually checks.
Okay,
so,
she checks.
So to put it very simply, there's a proofreading mechanism in Miss Rona that maintains the fidelity of the virus that goes like, okay, you know what? This is right. Of course, if you're going to replicate like millions upon millions upon millions of time, you are still going to fuck up a little bit. And unfortunately, that's what happens with some of the strains. So the double mutant that's going around that's infecting India right now has two mutants, two mutations that actually causing a little bit of a problem. So the two mutations actually cause the antibodies to not latch onto the virus a little bit better and the virus to latch onto cells a little bit stronger. So it makes it a little bit more difficult. I'm not saying 100% cannot. It makes it a little bit more difficult to eradicate.
Through vaccination.
Through vaccination. So the vaccines, as of now, they don't show anything like oh, we can't fight the double mutant strain or whatever. They can. Right. They can. But it might just take a little bit longer. But that's all you need for this whole thing to kind of explode. If you just need to take a little bit longer to stave off the infection, in that little bit longer time, you can infect another person.
Right.
And that person can infect another person. So I think that's kind of what's happening. This explosion is a little bit... It's caused by this, lah. People not being vaccinated and people taking it for granted.
Right.
Taking the vaccine for granted. So I think the big thing here, moving forward, is that people need, firstly, to get vaccinated. You need to not have your body be a place where mutations can happen. Get the vaccine. Allow the virus to not infect your cells as much as possible. And then just stop the mutations from happening. So all those people that don't want to get vaccinated, I really don't understand. I really don't know how to convince people anymore.
Mm.
It's just like, oh God, just talk to your neighbor, talk to your parents, talk to people and just let them understand that this is important, that they need to do this.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know, in America, 44% of Republicans don't want to get vaccinated. 44% there. That is fucking frightening, you know.
And 44% of Republicans don't want to get vaccinated.
The numbers change according to who's taking the poll. Sometimes it's 38, sometimes it's 44, but that's a large number already. And all I'm thinking about is that, girl, if you don't get vaccinated, you are at risk of getting infected and therefore causing the virus to get mutated further in your replication system. So why are you doing this to all of us?
Yeah, there's an incredible amount of like stupidity that stems from incredible privilege that's circulating around the world right now.
Agreed.
Like, and it's happening in like rich countries, right? So like, I remember a few weeks ago in the UK, there were like marches, like anti-vaccine and anti-vaccine marches, basically, where they were just saying that the whole thing is still saying the thing's a fucking hoax.
Oh yeah.
And it's just so infuriating to me. And it's like, it's so especially infuriating because like the rich countries are now the ones who are hoarding vaccines, right? Mm. And preventing
like other countries from getting it.
You know, poorer countries from distributing the vaccines. And then it's like in the country where you can get vaccinated with ease, you are still protesting against it. It's just something so like grotesquely out of whack about
you
that.
You would think that all these anti-vaxxers or vaccine deniers, once they see their loved ones get hit hard by the coronavirus, they would change their minds, right? But I saw this CNN interview where this guy was interviewing this person whose mother got infected with coronavirus and she was just basically not doing great lah. And he was holding his photo up of his mother and everything, you know, talking about what his mother went through. And then the reporter asked him, would you take the vaccine? And then the guy paused for a while and said, nope. And the reporter said, why? And he said, oh, I just don't believe that it works. And I want to make sure that it's an actual real vaccine. And then the reporter was a bit stunned. He didn't know what else to say. I'm like,
what? Okay. If I approach that sentiment from a humane point of view, it really comes from like fear lah. Like, it's like, if you have been fed all these lies about what the vaccine could be, what it is and it isn't, like you would still say, yeah, sure, my mom died, but I don't know for sure that the vaccine is a thing that's going to stop this
where I disagree. I think skepticism is an important thing to have. In fact, all scientists should be skeptics. Okay, so scientific skepticism is great, but scientific skepticism needs to be founded on evidence. It needs to be evidence-based still.
Right.
This person is just skeptical for no good reason.
Yeah.
And no actual research was done.
It's like there's this deep underbelly of paranoia that runs through American, specifically society, because like they you know, the way power works there, and they always just think that the government is, there's some massive fucking conspiracy that's up to kill everybody. And that these people who are on the alternative right, are clued in to conspiracy.
There's a little bit of that. And I see that in Singapore, in very specific segments of Singaporean society
Yep.
You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, same kind of contra, alt-right, and their friendlies.
Yeah, and their friendlies. And I have to say, it is a bit scary to see because I don't know if they understand. Because I think, no, in fact, I know for a fact that they don't really understand the mechanisms of the biology, about all these things, right? And they don't know the harm that they're doing globally.
Right.
And that is super frightening.
Mm.
Yeah. So you know what, Jess, if you can, go and get vaccinated. Please, please, please go and get vaccinated. Talk to your nearest and dearest, because I think changing a vaccine denier's mind is very difficult if you don't know the person. But talking to your nearest and dearest, if they're vaccine deniers, can actually help. That's what studies show. Mm. Like, you just talk to the nearest and dearest next to you, and then they kind of, they may not change their mind fully, but they might question, which is helpful.
And while you're at it, find a way if you can to donate to some mutual aid initiatives and other kinds of like emergency health initiatives that are going towards the crisis in India right now. I think we'll leave some links in the Instagram and on the Spotify write up for this episode as well, if you want to just click through to those.
Yeah,
this is a very serious situation that's basically playing out because of this massive inequality in the world, to do with not just like money, but like vaccines and health and medical treatment,
politics everywhere.
And fascism and everything. It's all just one big fucking mess. And so if we can help, let's help.
We're all in this together.
Okay, we've come to the end of today's episode. We're gonna leave you with some admin! More admin!
That's so stupid. Uh-huh.
So, T for Two, the podcast you've been listening to, has been enlisted to be one of the official podcasts of SIFA, the Singapore International Festival of the Arts, that's opening the week you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Yeah, so they've got us to do three weekend podcasts kind of responding to the program at CIFA and stuff that we will see in the week.
Yeah,
and it's called, what is it called, Kishan?
It's called Nightcap at 9.
Yeah.
And like what Joel said, we're doing three episodes. So they're going to come on the 16th, 23rd and the 30th of May.
Yeah, you can find that on like the CIFA page, and we might like post it on wherever you get our podcast.
Exactly,
anyway.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be quite fun, lah. It's like it's gonna be like on top of our regular episode, you know.
That's
so
right.
Think of it as like kind of like the art supplement of T42.
Yeah, however that will look like, we don't know yet.
Yeah, and then we'll tell you, you know, what's looking interesting at CIFA, and then tell you what we thought about the shows that we saw.
Yeah,
quite fun, huh?
Basically, sisters give you some advice.
Sisters give you some advice.
Us advice.
Yeah. Do you have any other admin to share with our dear listeners as we come to a close today?
No, I just think I want to thank our dear listeners for really pushing us to 103. It is I'm sorry. This is, to me, the most ridiculous thing that has happened. Ridiculous in like a very happy
top 103 podcasts in Singapore,
What the fuck?
I know, like, right?
What? So I'm just thankful.
Yeah, but
that
the question
you are listening
is
to us shout every week.
How do we get to number one? Is the question.
It is.
Will
a very
we ever
good
get
question.
There?
You know what? You just have to listen to find.
Yeah, you have to keep listening week after week, right? To find out if by the end of this series we get that should be
we become number one or one of us dies.
How long will it take? 5-10 years? Will we still be doing this at 50?
Who knows
I think when we are 50, our COVID might be the dominant life form on the planet.
And then we'll be usurped.
And then COVID will be making podcasts about like human beings.
Yeah, we got rid of them.
It's like, well, they were a problem, not for long though. All right. Thanks again, dear listeners, for listening to us and helping us to get to the top 103 on the Singapore podcast charts.
Thank you.
Until next time, this has been Joel.
Bye-bye. And this is Kishan. Bye-bye.